Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This is The Burt Show.
I don't know what Jedi mind tricks that Cassie used on our attorneys, but she got it done. And for those of you, you bunch of crybabies that were saying, I can't go on without The Burt Show. Easy. Easy. Cassie's got you taken care of.
You're going to take a walk down memory lane because starting October 27th, we will be releasing on the podcast items from the Burt Show Vault. That is content from the past 25 years. It's going to be a mix-up mashup, so you never know what you're going to get. But then we're going to have everything later on a fan-driven community. More details about that later. But if you do listen through the app, that is going away. So you need to go to Spotify or Apple to subscribe so you don't miss any of the vintage Burt Show from the vault.
And this is not like a classic rock station where you start to hear Fleetwood Mac over and over and over again, the same Fleetwood Mac song. We've got how many episodes do we got going on over there?
Oh my, I have 25 years worth. I have no idea on the count. But
what was the stat you gave earlier?
We put out so much content that if you were to scroll back on our podcast feed now, just for 1 month of shows, it's 400 episodes. So we're going to have a lot for you guys to work through and fill your time.
Look, morning radio is rough out there. We understand. So you can listen to our podcasts. Even the old stuff is better than what's out there. Okay.
We'll see. I'm sure re-listening to it, we're going to be like, oh, what?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I can't believe we got here.
That was good.
That might happen also. All right, Abby, now do you know what we're going to be doing with your segment, Ye Olde Gossip?
Listen, I wrote it over the weekend and I forgot. I was like, wait, I can't remember who I pitched this week. But before Madonna ever belted her name from a balcony, there was the real Evita, a broke actress who turned politics into performance art and Argentina into her personal runway.
Hear ye, hear ye. Come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village.
Abby's done the work to bring you
Ye Olde Gossip.
Ladies and gentlemen, gather round. Pour yourself a glass of hypothetical Malbec and clutch your pearls, because tonight we are talking about Argentina's original bad chick, Eva freaking Perón. Evita didn't just rise to fame. She power climbed out of poverty like a woman late for her Botox appointment. She was born in a dusty little town so broke, their town motto was basically, good luck. Her family was poor, like the cow left us for a better life poor. But Evita had one thing they didn't, delusion and a dream. So she packs her bags, hops on a train to Buenos Aires, and boom, she's an actress, which back then was code for technically employed, morally flexible. Now picture it. It's Buenos Aires in the 1930s. Tango, sweat, socialism, and drama. Evita is hustling her way through the entertainment world. She's got talent, charm, and just enough chaos to make casting directors nervous. And then, she meets Colonel Juan Perón. Big deal in the military. Big ego. Big potential. They meet at a charity gala. And she's like, oh, you help the poor? And he's like, only the cute ones. Sparks fly. And within weeks, she's moved from plus one to first lady in training. It's not love at first sight. It's LinkedIn with benefits. And baby, she ate. Overnight, she goes from B-movie actress to Argentina's number one celebrity. She's giving speeches, rocking Dior, and handing out sewing machines like a socialist Santa Claus. The people adored her. The poor cried, Evita, Evita! The rich cried, make her stop giving away my money. She was part Mother Teresa, part influencer, part mob boss. She'd show up to hospitals in diamonds and be like, I brought medicine and glamour. Meanwhile, Juan's like, wait, am I still the president? And she's like, smile for the balcony, Poppy. Now, the elite could not stand her. They said she was, quote unquote, too emotional, which basically means she has feelings and a platform. They also said she was too flashy, which means she has taste and we don't. But Evita didn't care. She ruled that balcony like it was the Met Gala. Every speech was like, people of Argentina, I love you so much. But if one more rich lady calls me tacky, I will redistribute her jewelry. And then, tragedy. She gets sick. But even while dying, she looked amazing. That woman's hemoglobin was dropping and her contour was still perfect. Her funeral, legendary. The country collapsed. They embalmed her like fine art. And then, this is true, they lost the body.
What?
They lost her body for decades. Literally, they embalmed her like a political Barbie. The plan was to put her on display forever because nothing says socialism like a permanent open casket viewing.
Okay, this is part of the story I was not familiar with.
I did not know this.
This is why you tune into gossip. But before that could happen, her husband, Juan Perón, gets booted out of office in a military coup. So now the government's like, uh-oh, what do we do with the world's most famous corpse? They couldn't just throw her away. She was basically Beyonce meets the Virgin Mary. So they hid her for 16 years. They passed her around Argentina like a cursed Horcrux. One colonel allegedly kept her in his office, and it got weird. Like, sir, your desk is haunted. Weird. Eventually, they smuggled her out of the country and buried her under a fake name in Italy. Years later, Juan Perón, chilling in Spain with his new wife, finally gets her body back because nothing says romance like reuniting with your embalmed ex. He keeps her in their house, in their dining room.
Nuh-uh.
The new wife's like, so we're just going to eat next door? That's kind of weird, but whatever. Finally, in the late 70s.
This is true?
Yes.
Damn.
So finally, in the 70s, Argentina brings her home and buries her in a steel-reinforced tomb 20 feet underground to make sure she stays put this time. Because if anyone could rise again for a dramatic encore,
right?
It'd be Evita. Evita Perón wasn't just a first lady. She was a brand, a movement, the original girl boss, gaslight, give to the poor icon. She went from illegitimate child to international legend, proof that you can start with nothing, marry up, run a country, and get a full musical written about you without even singing a single note. So raise your hypothetical glass of Malbec to Evita, the woman who made communism chic, Catholicism commercial, and crying on a balcony, high fashion.
End scene. Beautiful. Really beautiful. I didn't know any of that stuff.
I didn't either.
Now you do.
Now I do.
It's the Burt Show.
So Burt Show coming to an end on October 24th. So we are taking a look over the last 25 years of the highs and the lows of the Burt Show. And celebrity interviews are always tricky, y'all. And in full transparency, when a celebrity hangs up on you or they leave the studio, it's good for business, but you never really go into the interview wanting that.
No.
I've never done that.
No, absolutely not.
Like knowing this is going to be it, man. They're just going to piss them off so much that we're going to get a lot of street talk out of this one. I've never gone into an interview like that.
Nor have I. Like, you want to go in being, of course, like respectful and just have a good conversation and try to get maybe that viral nugget. Like, I mean, that's what we're all gunning for. Not for somebody to hang up on us, but to build a rapport with said celebrity so you can have an intriguing conversation and get a piece of information out of them that nobody else has managed to get to where it will become something newsworthy. Like that's what you go into. And let's just be fully transparent. Celebrity interviews don't really like score well with the listeners. Like we've done the research over the years, and it was more for like a
credibility.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a big show. They can get Adam Levine. They can get Chris Martin. They can get J-Lo. They can get whomever.
It was more of a branding, credibility kind of thing. But as far as you guys enjoying like celebrity interviews, you never really did.
and at least ratings wise, unless it was a really big name. And then even our research showed us like people loved them for about 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. I will give us some credit that the research that we got on interviews was really more broadly about radio. Ours scored pretty well because I think we were good at it.
I think so, too.
I think we were pretty good when it comes to celebrity interviews.
Except for the two times they hung up on us.
Yeah, that didn't go so great. Here's the thing about celebrity interviews also, is that my interest in them has waned over the years as celebrities' interest in doing radio has waned as well. But for me, it was such a time investment in doing the research on a celebrity. I mean, if you take it seriously, you should be you should know the answers that your celebrity is going to give you before you even ask it. You just have read so much about them. It's like a good lawyer that goes into a courtroom. They know the answers to the questions that they are about to ask, right? That takes a lot of time. So for like an Adam Levine or a Chris Martin, it could take 3-4 hours. And then after a while, you'll get a call last minute after you've spent all this time researching on it. You're not hanging out with your kids, right? Mm-hmm. You're not paying attention to anything else because you're working on this. And then with 30 seconds before the interview starts, the celebrity decides to bail on it. Just pisses me off, man.
Or you sit there for an hour and there are no show.
Right.
That's also happened as well.
Or the entitlement of being late. The truth is that celebrities aren't as eager to do radio interviews anymore because it's not as important as doing like a major podcast. You could do one major podcast. If you get a couple of viral moments out of that, there's no reason to go old school where you used to have to line up and do 50 different radio stations. The days of Justin Bieber going from studio to studio to studio are totally over, right? So when you have the opportunity to interview a celebrity, you hope it goes well. You don't want them to hang up on you. But Kristen and Adam Levine, they have a rich history.
Yeah. And when it first happened, I was so livid with him. And I swore off all Adam Levine Maroon 5 songs for the rest of my life. And then upon reflection, I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to take some accountability here and some ownership because I did not understand the assignment and I unknowingly butchered the interview. Like, I did not know that at the time, but once I got additional information after the fact, I'm like, oh, that's why he hung up on me. So I want to, you got to set the stage here because this was a crazy series of events. We had just got syndicated in Washington, D.C. So we went to do our first show live from D.C., right? So we're in D.C. on Mix 107.3.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Wow. And so it's Bert, Jeff, and I doing the show from Bert's old studio that he used to do it from when he was on the Jack Diamond show. So this is all coming full circle, right?
I'm so mad about that experience.
Yeah.
That we got canceled as quick as we did.
Well, that was also our fault, too. We came in a little too hot.
Yes and no, but I was told... This takes us into a different area for 30 seconds. I was told we had 3 years to build an audience.
Okay.
So I was handling the programming of it very differently. And then after a year, they're like, no, we're pulling the plug. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that wasn't part of the plan. It still bugs me.
Yeah. So we're launching in D.C. And so we did this show. And then Bert is flying to Vegas for the Billboard Music Awards because you were going to be on the carpet. And then Jeff and I were flying to Dallas to do be in studio for like this big broadcast for the Billboard Music Awards, right? But there was like a delay. So I stayed in D.C. to do this interview with Adam Levine. So it was just me because Bert had already left to go to the Billboards. Jeff was already headed to the station in Dallas. Like, it was crazy, right? That we were all over the place. So there I am in this tiny studio in D.C. around people I do not know. This interview that's been set up all about promoting the Billboard Music Awards. So I'm asking Adam all these questions about the Billboards because Maroon 5 had been nominated for a slew of awards. And we had done a bit on the air where we were trying to predict who was going to win. And Bert had Maroon 5 for all of them. Little did I know, the artists know going into the awards whether or not they won because it's all just Billboard stats, right? So I'm interviewing Adam Levine thinking I'm supposed to talk all things Billboard, but this man already knows he hasn't won a single award.
Oh, no.
So it's just like I'm rubbing it in that they're not. And you will hear, Abby, this massive sigh because he is so over my line of questioning because I thought I was supposed to talk about the Billboards, but I wasn't. I was just supposed to talk about Evergreen stuff. And yeah, that man hung up on me. But then it was a higher up, an executive in the company.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about this.
It wasn't even, you're going to listen to this, right? And now imagine after Adam Levine hangs up on me, again, I'm in a strange building, in a strange studio with people that I literally just met launching our show. And this man comes in and yells at me. Do you know what you just did? And apparently he was tight with Adam Levine and Maroon 5.
What, his initials, JJ?
I don't remember. No, I don't think that's who it was.
No,
I don't, for whatever reason.
It might
have been. Okay. But this, and I was so wound up, and there was just, I lost it. And I started sobbing, like just started sobbing, because he's blaming me and acting like I did something wrong. And he was God's gift to radio and had all these celebrity contacts. And how dare I, you know, screw up this interview with his friend, Adam Levine. And now I am, as the professional consummate radio co-host, sobbing, and he's just standing there staring at me, not knowing what to do, because I'm a blubbering mess. And as a woman in a male-dominated field, the last thing you want to be doing is sobbing, crying in front of like your one of the company execs. That was not a good day.
No. Afraid it wasn't.
That was not a good day.
All right, so here is Kristen and Adam Levine.
Oh, God. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good. Just so you know, this is Kristen from The Burt Show. We're going to do a Billboard Music Awards special Sunday night that's getting broadcast to over 100 stations, so we appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, dude, congratulations on the 11 nominations for the Billboard Music Awards for Maroon 5. That's huge.
Thank you. That is a lot of nominations. We're very, very, very excited.
A lot, to say the least. So I got to ask, give me your frame of mind. Like, when you're going to the Billboard Music Awards, you're driving there in your limo, are you thinking, yeah, man, we got this? Or are you just trying to keep the expectations in check? Because, you know, if you got 11 nominations, your stuff is good.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, I think it's just more a matter of going, you know, just having fun, you know?
Yeah.
And if you win, it's a bonus. You know, I love winning. It's fun, but it's not always necessary to have a good time.
So you're just thinking, like, win's a bonus. Go in there with zero expectations. You're just looking to have a good time.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. And I have to ask you a favor, because we have Bert from The Bert Show is going to be on the red carpet grabbing artists, musicians, celebrities as they're walking. Can you give him any advice? Like, what's the key to getting your all's attention?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Really? I'm trying to help my man out, because he's going to be down there doing all our red carpet interviews for us.
Wear loud, really bright colors.
Really bright colors. So that would help if he and producer Tommy had like some crazy neon stuff going on?
Neon always helps.
Neon on. And when he's doing interviews, what's the difference in red carpet interviews as opposed to doing something like this, like a radio interview?
I don't know. I think they're just different. You're there in person. It's usually pretty crazy and hectic. So they're all kind of... I think the most important thing is just to act like it's a conversation and not pretend like, you know, like you're on the carpet or, you know, pretend you're just in a living room or you're on the telephone or something.
Conversations are the best way to go. That's how we prefer to try to make it casual. And like you said, it's all about the fun factor, right?
Absolutely.
So you guys, as you're heading over there, you going to be taking any shots of tequila to like ease the nerves, or do you not even get remotely nervous about this stuff?
Oh, God, no. No one will get nervous about it. It's just fun.
Just fun. So, well, then that means if it's fun, then there's going to be a party in the limo on the way over there, right? Because you're going to a party.
Life is one big party if you're lucky.
Isn't that the truth? And then Christina's going to be performing. CeeLo's going to be presenting. You and Maroon 5, all those nominations. Are you guys going to be hanging out afterwards?
Yeah. I'm assuming so. I'm not sure.
I mean, I figured
I'll cry myself to sleep if we don't win any of our 11 nominations.
Well, I'm sure you guys, Maroon 5, I have a feeling. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. And also, Bert, because we have a bet here on the show. We're making, we turn everything into a competition, because we're all very highly competitive people, and that's just like what we do. And of course, there's always a risk factor of embarrassment if you don't win. So we have a bet, and we're trying to guess who's winning all the Billboard awards. So we took each of the categories, picked our winners, and literally Bert has Maroon 5 winning every single category.
Well, I hope that happens. I definitely hope that happens.
Now, here's the thing. If not, the punishment is, you know, and we do morning radio, and we look like, let's be honest, we look like when we wake up in the morning. So we have to get a camera and take a picture of ourselves first thing when we wake up in the morning, and it's getting plastered on a billboard and all of our social media websites. So no pressure, Adam. Oh, God.
Hey, Kristen, sorry, hold on. I think we may have lost him there. Hold on.
Okay.
Win. Yeah, we had him, and then I lost him.
Yeah.
Now we're back live.
Oh my God, the secondhand embarrassment I'm feeling all over my skin.
It felt to me like you were so nervous during that interview.
I wasn't getting anything from him.
I was pulling teeth. Listening to that, I'm like, he gave you nothing.
Right.
Yeah. But then now looking back, I'm like, okay, I would have taken the line of questioning completely off the billboards and did something else that would have been like, you know, more entertaining for him. But he was, that man was fed up with me, man.
Yeah. And I also think that when most radio interviews, it's like, you know, radio is like the lowest common denominator. It's wacky. The morning shows are wacky. The questions, he's probably heard a million different times.
Yep.
And it's a little sophomoric. So when you brought up the billboard thing and the bit, he was just like, this is stupid.
Yep.
Click.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was nice to relive.
And then you get your ass chewed on top of it.
Oh my God. Right after that came just barreling into the studio. What were you thinking? What were you doing?
Yeah.
How did you? What? Blah, 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 blah. And then me like, ah!
All right. So we ran out of time to do the Chris Martin hang up, which was so bizarre.
One was so uncomfortable too.
And then he called back and it was a mess, but we'll have to play it for you guys. We'll have to play it for you guys tomorrow morning.
Here, Bird Show.
So Mikey here hit me with a real curveball the other day. So I've been doing radio long enough to where I pretty much know most of the quote-unquote radio studio heads, right? So when I know that the Bird Show is taking off on October 24th, I'm protective of my people, and I think they're very talented people. So I put some feelers out for those on the show. Hey, if you have a job opening, just want to let you know, Abby kicks ass, Kristen kicks ass, who knows what's going to happen here, right? I know guys at iHeart and Odyssey and the other places, so I've called them, and they've hit me back, and we've been able to make some connections, right?
Yep.
So I hit Mikey up the other day, and I'm like, dude, you know what? I'm making the calls around town to see what's available and what you want to do. So I have zero idea what it is that you want to do with your life that I can help you with. And Mikey hit me with the one place I know nobody. Tell him what your dream is.
The dream is to work on Willie's Roadhouse on Sirius XM, which is Willie Nelson's radio station. They play music from like the 50s. Nobody likes it except for me, but it's the greatest thing of all time. It's fantastic stuff. That's why I named my radio show after Mikey J's Roadhouse, Willie's Roadhouse.
I don't know anything about that whole I don't know anything about that. I don't know anybody working in that field at all.
It's good stuff. Check it out. Dallas Wayne.
So it's any one of the shows on there you would like to either be producing or an audio, what?
Well, Willie's Roadhouse is its own show, but then there's like Outlaw Country next to it. That's also good stuff. You got to know I'm very particular about my country music. I'm a real curmudgeon, and
That newfangled stuff.
I'm tough to be around.
Mikey, I know a guy. I'll give you the email.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really?
You know somebody over there?
Mm-hmm.
That's specifically
under the country umbrella.
Are you serious?
How about that, bro?
What the? It was right under my nose.
You should have been nicer to me.
I've been so nice recently.
The last 2 weeks. Yeah, ever since we found out we're unemployed, he's like, Mamie, I should really be nice to this Abby chick.
I got to be nice to her. Who knows what she's going to do?
Wait till you see how nice he's going to be now. It's really funny because I was going around the office the staff, and I was like, so what does Mikey want to do? Like, how is there anything I could do to help him out? And everybody's like, we have no idea what Mikey wants to do.
Nobody asked.
I asked.
You asked.
And now Abby's got your connection.
All right.
Look at that. All right.
Connection maker.
All right. So you offended somebody in their own house?
Yeah. I got two big gripes today. I'm a curmudgeon all over the place. Number one, I'm going to start this one off with a question. Bert, do you have a chair that is designated to you in your house? Yes or no?
Not in this particular home, but in homes past. There is a place on the couch that would be mine.
Okay. Yeah. Now, someone takes your place in the couch. How do you feel?
Who's the person?
It's a guy.
It's a guest?
It's a guest guy, yeah.
It's bothering me, but I'm allowing him to sit there.
Mostly correct. It's bad. Not respectful.
Okay.
But how are you supposed to know if you're a guest? Right.
If he knows.
That's the thing. You can get into the weeds here, but usually it's pretty clear cut. Like in my apartment, there's two big recliners. That's the nice stuff. And then we got a little blue couch. Looks bad. Feels bad. That's where a guest sits.
There are a lot of variables here. Yep, I understand where you're coming from, actually. Like, if it's a good friend of mine also, the level of friend counts. If it's a good friend, A, they should know. But B, if they do, I'm allowed to go, dude, that's my chair.
Exactly. Yes, spot on. Also, even to take it further, this is where I might lose a couple of you. If it's a good friend, I generally know how gross they are. I definitely don't want them sitting there. I definitely don't want them there.
Like, what are they going to do? Yeah. You mean like spilling beer or popcorn, or they just haven't wiped their ass and it's going to leave a mark?
That's more of my issue. And it's not even that. It's just their body and their fibers touching my spot. And it grosses me out. And complete transparency. Yeah. This has happened twice now. I let that spot air out for like 3 days. I don't sit there.
Well, how smelly are your friends, man?
It's not a smell. It's me knowing that this disgusting person sat there. It's not that they're actually leaving anything behind.
What do you do in public bathrooms?
What do I do? What do you mean?
If you're so freaked out about places where people have been.
No, it's only because it's my spot on the couch. And okay. I like, you know, that commercial where it's like, this is how she's been ever since she started smoking weed and she's like melted into the couch. That's what I do every night. And so I don't want to melt into my couch where my friend has already sat.
I know, okay. Exactly.
I'm not melting onto the toilet.
Yeah.
I think you're a little quirky in this area. For me, it's more territorial than it is anything else.
I might be territorial.
I think you are.
Should I start peeing on it?
There's a simple solution to this, and it's one that I have done successfully throughout my life, and it's don't have friends.
Therefore, you have no guests.
Exactly. The couch is always yours. It's perfect.
I truly thought you were going to say put plastic wrap on your couch or whatever.
And did you have more friends before you moved in the RV and you've been inviting them, and people are just like, nah, catch you when the house is ready.
When I moved in the RV, I lost the additional funds to pay people to like me.
All right, so there's your first gripe. You said
now.
There's more.
Yeah, so this one is hard to be a gripe about because I did it. I made the faux pas, the fox pass. I did it. I did this thing.
The faux pas.
The fox pass.
What is a fox pass?
It's faux pas phonetically is fox pass.
The fox pass.
That is how I'm going to refer to it from now on.
I did the fox pass. So my friend just moved into this nice new apartment, but he's not fully furnished yet. I walked myself into this apartment and I just plopped down on his nice chair. Not a thought in the world. Zero respect for my friend. And he calls me on it, and he says, do you think that's your spot? The color left my face, and I said, you know what? I completely apologize. Yep. I'm sitting on the floor.
If you guys are that good of friends,
exactly,
then you can say that to another fella.
I belong on the floor in this situation.
Yep. Yep. That's a bad host.
No,
it's guy code.
No,
she's never going
to
get it.
If you are a guest in my home, mm-hmm. aside from burning it to the ground, you sit where you want to. You are a guest in my home.
It's a different.
You to be comfortable while you're there, and it's my home. I'm going to be comfortable sitting anywhere.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Call me a sexist, but it's like if it's a girl, I don't think I care. It's just that it's a guy. That's what really bothers me here. Huh. Tell me what's wrong with me. I don't know.
Let me chew on this.
Yeah, give me a counselor or something. But
well, is it a territorial thing? Like you feel like you could knock the girl out of the way if you really needed to, but guy is taking over your seat. You feel like this is my throne. How dare another man come and sit on my throne?
I feel like there's a little bit of sexism going on here. I'm putting myself in your position. If like my best girlfriend Amy or my best girlfriend Kristen went onto my spot, I'd say nothing. However, if it was John or Terrence or Joel,
Jerry,
get out. Get out the spot.
Exactly. That's not your spot. And I think it has to do with the fibers of the person. I don't want your fibers in my couch. If it's a lady fiber, it's okay. Ladies are usually pretty clean and like nice people and stuff. I don't want the guy fiber.
I get it.
Is that fair?
I see what you're saying. The girls are looking at you like you have three heads.
What's wrong with me?
I don't think you have three heads. I think you just need to see a therapist for OCD.
All right, hire one. Problem number two. Mm-hmm. This is something that I faced this past weekend. Really, really got me fired up. I hate, and I've never been able to put words to it until this latest one. I hate when people tell me how to be a gentleman. Don't tell me how to be a gentleman. I know how to do it.
You just don't do it well in front of me, though.
Or anybody?
No, I do it fantastically. I'm the door opener of the century. I hold open every door. I'm the best door holder. Now.
So you're a good old Southern gentleman.
Absolutely.
You're so Trump right now. I am the best door holder in the history of door holding.
No, he's so Ken right now. His job is just doorstop.
I know.
He's just like one of those little triangle ramp things.
Honestly, I've thought about that's a good job. A doorman, I love that. You greet people, you hold the door. I like being a doorman. But
outside of having very little muscle mass, you'd be very good at it.
They're not that heavy. It's just a door. So here's the latest one that happened to me. I was at this bar with my friends. My girlfriend decides it's time for her to go home. Reggie needs like six different kinds of medicine because he's got congestive heart failure.
Oh, he's still with us, though.
Oh, yep. He's still alive. He's just passing out like a goat all the time.
This poor dog. Good God.
He passes out like he's gone.
He really does. He falls over and just goes completely stiff. We're like, Reggie, you got to sit him back up on his feet.
You got to resuscitate him.
He's like a stiff, stuffed animal that's fallen over.
It's crazy.
Is he already taxidermied and you just put a motor
that's
in him?
That's exactly what it seems like. We took him to the vet and they're like, no, that's good. He should be passing out like that. It's like, all right, if you insist. Just pay $300 more for medicine every month. So it's time to go take care of Reggie. The old man needs his medicine. So it's time for her to go. Her Uber has arrived. I'm literally putting stuff in my pockets to get up and walk her down to the car. My friend says, hey, you should probably walk her down to the Uber. I know. I was already in the process of doing it, but why? Why on earth do you feel the need to tell me to do that? Do you guys ever face something like this?
Well, you know what? There is a judgment going on here. He doesn't think that you know that it's proper etiquette, which is insulting.
Yes, it's insulting.
Yep.
No, my husband insults me every day by assuming I don't know how to mother my child.
Is he right?
I mean, sometimes, not all the time, you do one wrong thing and all of a sudden you're an unfit mother.
You forget your kid at Bucky's one time.
One time.
The Bert Show.
Need your help taking a bunch of kids down to Disney World. We're talking about Bert's Big Adventure. You can help out in an easy way. Just buy a raffle ticket for a brand new 2025 Audi Q3 at bertsbigadventure.org. It's $100 and you could win that car outright. All the money goes to Bert's Big Adventure.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I was giving myself a hard time last week because I mixed up some names around the office and I was like, gosh darn. How do you do something like that? When you work with people in an office, how do you mess up their names? Well, I feel like I can move on from this situation now knowing what Travis Kelce did at one of the Eras Tours shows where he mixed up two famous people, people he should have known by their faces because they are such big icons, or at least one of them is such a big icon in the entertainment industry. So Taylor Swift recently took over Late Night with Seth Meyers to talk about a situation that happened with Travis Kelce where he straight up did not know who Greta Gerwig was, even though he is such a big fan of hers.
And meanwhile, I'm kind of scrolling on my phone. He's like telling me about the rest of the night. He's like, and there's this family up front that I was dancing with all night. They were so fun. They were like my best friends. Like, I wish I knew who they were. They were so fun. He keeps talking. I'm seeing all over the internet is just videos of Travis dancing with Greta. All night, like they're best friends. And I'm like, Travis, here's a video of you with Greta. It feels like she thought the joke was funny. He goes, oh, that's not Greta. Do the math, carry the two here. Is there any chance at all, baby, that you complimented Hugh Grant's wife, Anna, on her movie Barbie, said, I'm just Ken too, and she politely nodded because she didn't have the heart to tell you. She didn't direct it. And is there any chance that the people that look like soulmates
are Hugh Grant and his soulmate.
Right.
Basically, he'd been in the tent and he had talked to Taylor. Oh my God, I'm so excited to see Greta Gerwig. I'm such a fan of Barbie. And so he runs into what we would later find out is Hugh Grant's wife and looks at Hugh Grant's wife and points to Taylor on stage and is like, oh yeah, I'm just Ken too. I loved Barbie. And the whole time Hugh Grant's wife is like, oh, okay. And so then he goes to the ride or whatever and is dancing with this family. And this family is Greta Gerwig and her children, which is so funny. Like, you think you would just know who Greta Gerwig is. Like, if you've seen Barbie, like, how do you mix up Greta Gerwig with Hugh Grant's wife? Taylor Swift has also been on this huge press tour. And I was talking off air about how I wish that we were a part of the press tour and that we had gotten to interview her. But she was, once again, on Late Night with Seth Meyers. And this woman is talking more about bread than I think anything about her album combined, if you put all of these interviews together.
So I learned to bake bread from a wonderful woman named Tina.
Because you have nothing but free time.
And I have now made it everyone's problem.
Yeah.
It's like when I have a hobby, it becomes an obsession, and then it becomes my entire personality. And so I've made you some bread.
You made me some bread, and I want to say I'm very... I do want to say, this is an intervention on behalf of your friends
and
family.
Yeah, I thought it might be.
Like, everybody's excited about the bread. The bread puns...
have to stop.
Yeah. Like, this is great. I mean, again, like, I got bread from Taylor Swift, but then it said, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean...
Yep.
The fate of Dophilia. Yeah. There's a moment.
It's some of my best work. And I feel like it's not going to be appreciated until after its time.
I think you should definitely do like a Weird Al remake of your album where it's all just like bread-based puns.
Oh, that's not off the table at this point.
The lyricist of our generation, everybody, making bread puns on late night television. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Cassie, you have been so transparent in your journey with GLP-1, and I don't know why I'm so invested in it, but I haven't asked you in a couple of days. First of all, am I overstepping my boundaries by asking you on the air?
No, I after 15 years here, just about, I'm used to that. You're good.
I mean, literally, the mics went on. I'm like, gosh, wonder how things are going.
You're invested in that, and I was invested in the house. I'm like, I need to get an update on the house and where the house is.
So what's going on with the GLP-1?
It's going good. It's probably because you saw me eating frosted mini wheats over here.
I don't think that was
It's going good. I'm 3 weeks in. I think I've lost about 10 pounds.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I feel different, which is nice. It's things I didn't realize. Like, it's so much easier to walk. My joints feel more fluid. Like, they never felt like wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just existing now. I'm like, oh, and maybe it's because I'm lighter. I'm like, this just feels easier and it feels easier to move, which is nice. Not really having any side effects. I definitely think I need to go up to the first dose. I can feel it wear off midweek, but it is so bizarre because midweek, and I know it's wearing off and that's kind of the half-life of it. I'll be like, God, I could really use like a burger. And the food noise comes back and I start thinking about like eating huge quantities of food, even though I'm not super hungry. Whereas when I'm on the shot and I get hungry, I'm like, oh, I got to eat something. Let me eat a salad or a sandwich. And that does me just fine. And I don't think about food again. But later on in the week, I'll sit here and I'm like, okay, well, I've got leftover Mexican. And I start planning out every food and snack for the rest of the day.
So question for you, and I know some of these questions are going to sound really stupid to you guys, but I don't like food. So I've never had this struggle really before. For me, it's just gas to get me from A to B. So are you at a place where, because I think if you want a burger, you should be able to have a burger. And I think sometimes if we eliminate those things, they become so valuable to us. Like, that's the only thing you can think of. So is that completely off the table, or can you have half a burger, satisfy that itch, and then move on to the next one? Or is that not a possibility for you?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I've eaten burger. I've had, you know, not burgers, but when I have that craving, I usually indulge it because I'm trying to listen to my body and I'm like, all right, know that I have food noise, but also perhaps I need like the red meat or the, like, there's something my body needs from that. But the rest of the time, what it does is it gives me what I think you probably have your whole life, is I don't care about food. And I'll get annoyed when I start to get hungry or headache. I'm like, oh, yes. God, I got to eat. Okay. And it's so much easier to grab like like a salad because I just, and I'm making sure I get a lot of, it's like a lot of protein and fiber. It's very specific, like salads from a company called Thistle I'm eating, but I'm making sure I'm getting the right nutrients in, and that's my focus. And then I'll lean into, like the other day, I really wanted cake. So I had some cake because it was my birthday and I had like 5 bites and I was like, oh, cool. That's all I wanted. And it was like,
did you feel guilty? Did you feel guilty on like the first bite?
No. No guilt, because I know now my body has the tools it needs after 5 bites to be like, yeah, I'm good. That was great. Versus me before on the GLP-1, like would have eaten one of like half of one of those small Publix cakes, which is what it is. I would have polished it off and still been like, okay, well, what's next? I'm not full. Mm. And so it's nice to have, it just feels like my body is working appropriately. And it also feels like, dang. Well, no wonder if this is what everyone else feels, no wonder nobody gets why fat people can't lose weight, because you don't have this mindset. And being in that mindset of, I enjoy food when I eat it. It's not repulsive to me. I'm not like, ugh, I just get full faster and I'll get satisfied more quickly. It's like my body's like, cool, we have everything we need. We're good. And it's communicating properly in my brain. I'm like, great, I can move on. So now it's given me this insight when people who maybe don't struggle with their weight are like, and they don't understand why people who are overweight, why they can't just lose weight. I'm like, oh my God, it's such a mental struggle. It's so much more layered than that. And it's been very freeing. And I'm really enjoying, seems like a weird word to say, but I am happy I did it. And I'm really trying not to weigh myself and not worry about foods. Just make sure I'm getting more vegetables, make sure I'm getting protein and the fiber I need and the water I need. And that's my focus, is adding that in. And then everything else will fall into place.
And I assure you guys, this is not a cleverly disguised commercial for GLP-1s, but I do have questions. So now that you're on it and you feel this mentality that others, like I've been talking about for years and years and years, and you're looking at me like I have three heads, like how could you not enjoy food? Which I really, it just doesn't matter to me. I'd much rather drink than eat a meal, drink alcohol. So now that you have that feeling of like, oh, so this is what it's like to not have these cravings all the time, or to be able to eat a sensible meal and not think about my next meal. Now, do you wish that you would have gone on it sooner?
No, I don't think I would have been ready. I think I needed like it to be on the market for a little while and to do some research and come to terms with it, because it's much bigger for me, bigger than just like taking a drug for weight loss. Like I told you guys, like it's for my cholesterol, and I really want to be around long term for my kids, and I've got to make changes. And I'm glad I went on it when I did. I'm not trying to live in that regret mentality. Like I've made the decision and I'm on it now and I feel good, and I feel good about the way things are progressing. And it's finally nice to have eating be easy rather than it always be like
a struggle.
Yes. Every meal, or I come in here and it like just, it, your stomach gnaws at you all the time. Like, so I'd come in here in the morning, even if I didn't matter what I ate for breakfast, by 8 a.m., it'd be gnawing at me, and I'd have to like do a DoorDash order or plan something in advance to make sure I have it. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, you're supposed to eat every few hours, but it was all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's expensive. So I'm not DoorDashing anymore. I'm not Uber Eatsing, because there was also a weird low grade panic that came along with it. Like if I don't get food, which is ridiculous, but it was something like primitive, was like, I have to get food. That has to be my mission. It has to be my focus. And I would not be able to focus on anything else until I secured the next meal or I knew it was coming from. And now, like I said, I enjoy food. I like it still. I still get hunger. I didn't in the beginning, but I get hunger pangs. It just feels normal and it feels easy and it's so nice.
When I talked to people that gave up smoking, they said that not having the anchor or the thought all the time of like, when is the next time I'm going to be able to have a cigarette? Like, I got 20 minutes before I can have a cigarette. 30, I'm going to be on a plane for 3 hours. Can I do that without a cigarette? It sounds like the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Flights were one. Yeah, absolutely. If there's a flight over lunchtime, I'd be like, what am I going to eat? Because I also know I would feel like crap. That's the other thing. If I didn't eat in the amount of time I needed to, my blood sugar would crash and I would just feel terrible. And so it was more like there was a fixation with food, but there was also a physical response. And now I don't have that, because the GLP-1 is helping with the blood sugar regulation and stabilization and the food. Like, I'm not going to just credit it all to the GLP-1. Like, I'm eating differently as well. But the other things I didn't expect are the mental clarity. I feel much more alert. It's easier to move around. It's like a fog has been lifted. I don't feel as distracted. I've heard some people anecdotally say it helps with their ADHD. That is not a medical diagnosis, but I have absolutely noticed I can focus better. And big tasks I used to put off don't feel overwhelming anymore. And that might have been a leftover residual side effect from depression as well. But it would just be like I'd come home after working a long day and I'd be like, I got to cook dinner now and I got to do dishes. And it would just be like, I can't do dishes. I'm just going to do dinner. And now it feels like we're sending that email, like working up to sending an email. I don't know why, but I would put these mental barriers in place and it was almost like this executive dysfunction. Like I couldn't just break past it. I couldn't do the quote unquote hard things that I didn't want to do. Now it's not as much as a problem. It's like my body's working in concert with itself properly.
I think these conversations about GLP-1 are so important because I think what most people are seeing is like a celebrity that's going on a GLP-1 and is now down from 132 to 124 pounds. It has never been happier. But this is the stuff that's really important here, the mental game behind it all. And not only the losing weight, but feeling so much better and the mental clarity. That's the important stuff.
Feeling better, wanting to naturally eat better, being able to hang out with my kids more, feeling happier. Like, that's all bonus stuff, and it's just allowing me to live my life.
Awesome. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.